You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
I can't believe I'm saying this. Rob Manfred's right. Carlin, 800-919-3776, amigos. Vamanos. It is Friday night, and we're just getting started. Excited to be with you. So much to get to. We'll have a few laughs later on. Julie Stewart Binks. You know her from Drinks with Binks, her show on Fubo, as well as her many appearances on SNY. She's been everywhere, always very funny. She's currently quarantining up in Canada, and we will get that perspective later on in the show. We also have some insight on where college football is headed later as well with Nick Carparelli, who's the executive director of the Football Bowl Association. That is coming up later in the show. Looking forward to that. But we, and did I mention, for the first time in what has been weeks, and unfortunately for at least another week and a half or so, Beat the Fat Man comes tonight at 9 p.m. I'm looking forward to that, as you should be too. Maybe you shouldn't. Okay, we get to Rob Manfred, who just a little while ago, according to ESPN's Jeff Passan, got together or spoke to or emailed or texted or Skyped or DM'd Tony Clark to say that the players and baseball has to do a better job here of getting their act together when it comes to COVID-19. Otherwise, it's going to be gone. And a lot of the responses I've seen when it comes to Rob Manfred really just say, well, you're in charge of everything. Why don't you make it happen? Well, look, it's no secret that I have not been high on what Rob Manfred has done as commissioner of MLB and through this offseason, the way he's handled things. He doesn't come off very well. He comes off as if I'm smarter than you and how dare you question me on most things. In this case, he couldn't be more right. Rob Manfred can't be sitting in every hotel or for every team that's on the road and telling guys, don't go out tonight, you morons. He would be right to do that. He could record a PSA that is playing on a loop in every four seasons across America where all of the Major League Baseball teams stay when they're slumming it. It's the four seasons. And yet somehow we still run into problems with guys going out with everything that has gone on around the country this year. Look, I get it. A lot of people have different beliefs. A lot of people have different, and I'm actually with my hands on my head here, so frustrated, and you can kind of hear it in my voice. A lot of people are just so not smart when it comes to this mask thing. It doesn't have to do with anything other than just trying to keep the virus from breaking out in your clubhouse among a particular team. All you had to do was look earlier this week at what happened with the Marlins. Now, Buster Olney on Monday, and this has not been talked about a lot, Buster Olney on Monday said that the common thought, and this was Monday afternoon, was that it came from one player in the Marlins clubhouse that when they were on the road taking on the Braves in the middle of last week, made a bad decision. And it spread from there. Maybe it was more than one. Whatever it was, there's, 20 people now that have come down with it in the Marlins organization that have the virus that they now can't play until at least Monday. And, you know, they're basically shutting it down. And look, in this case, I don't think there's been a good, solid, across-the-board rule on why or on how things are done. There should be a set protocol for if you have X number of players that test positive, you're not playing until X. Well, they're still finding their way a little bit with it. That's unfortunate, but it has nothing to do with the spread of this virus. Players have to police themselves. It is on the players. This is not that hard. And I would venture to say that the majority of players are smart enough to realize that they have to do the right things. But look, there's always at least one idiot on the team. There's always one. On any team, anywhere, you know it. I'll tell you a little story. When I did minor league baseball 20 years ago, there was on this one A-ball team that was there for one summer, this group of players, there was one guy you consistently knew if there was a problem, it was this guy because he was an idiot. Because he would go out and get in the bar fight. And what do you know, the next thing you know, somebody is picking him up at the police station the next day. One occasion, that was me. He was going to do something stupid. He was going to get in trouble for yelling at a fan. He was going to do something dumb. There's always at least one, if not more. Young people don't make good decisions. I was a young person who made poor decisions once. I really, just like everybody else, we've all had that time. But I didn't have, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars in my pocket. I did not have all that is available to you when you are a Major League Baseball player. I did not have groupies chasing after me. Did not have any of that. I know that's stunning. They usually didn't ask for, hey, where's the radio guy? Screw the first baseman. I want to know where the fat radio guy is. No. In this case, for Major League Baseball to survive, and most importantly to the players, for them to continue to get paid, this now has to be on the players. That's why Manfred is so 100% correct on this. He couldn't be more right. And everybody that wants to blame him in this instance, I get it. It's a trigger reaction, but take a look at it. When these things happen, what happened with the Cardinals? Likely linked to a player making a bad decision. And they've got a couple who have tested positive already. And you know, I would bet every dollar that is in my actual pocket right now, which is seven, that there is going to be more that test positive over the weekend. Do we think that's not going to happen? Of course it's going to happen. And the Cardinals will end up not playing until Tuesday or Wednesday at least because of it all. We know this. It's not that hard to figure this out. So if these dopes that reside in these clubhouses, the one or two guys that is making a bad decision, don't stop making the bad decisions, it's going to shut it all down. And it may not be imminent like early next week, but you've now seen two teams. Okay, one has a massive breakout or outbreak. I keep screwing that up. And one has a minor one for the moment. Don't blame Rob Manfred for that. Blame the players. You know, I know that they don't like the idea of having to babysit one another off the field, but the leadership roles that players take on the field, that they get after young players when they make mistakes behind closed doors. This year, they have an added responsibility. If you're concerned about taking it home to your family, if you're concerned about anything in relation to this, underlying conditions for you or your family, if you're out there risking it, it has to be clear that everybody is on the same page. If you're not going to be in a bubble, which is where the real problem lies here, and I don't know how it honestly would have worked in the first place for baseball. I think it was unrealistic at the time, but now you could look at it and say, well, if they had done X number of bubbles around the country, if they had done five of them and put six teams in each one or something like that, it was doable. Whatever. You could look back and hindsight's 20/20 right now. The best way to avoid it is for ownership to be taken. Think about the fact that that could have been on one Marlins player and four teams had their schedules affected by that. Four teams lost games because of that. Marlins, Phillies, Yankees, Orioles. Think about the fact that tonight with the Cardinals, 20% of teams in Major League Baseball are not playing because of this. Look, Rob has not handled this right in many instances. Right here, you cannot get on him. I am team commish all the way. Players have to get their act together and police one another. 800-919-3776. Your calls next on the way. We've got NBA to discuss. LeBron last night doing LeBronian things, but LeBron and I have to get on the same page on something. We'll discuss that. We also have plenty of other NBA to discuss. The Nets actually climbed back into it after they fell behind by about 50 today, but still found their way to a respectable showing, even though there are a lot of guys on that team that I've never heard of that are playing right now. It's Carlin. We're just getting started. Me and you on a Friday night, baby. Let's roll. Get on the phones right now. Open lines. You, me, connecting. Doing what we do. 800-919-3776. Please tell me why Manfred's wrong, because I don't see it.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
And Roberto, what's
good
going
evening.
On?
Good evening, Chris. Well, I'll tell you, Chris, I love the passion in your voice. I would describe the previous caller, to paraphrase the Bard of Avon, much sound and fury signifying nothing.
Okay, I don't know anything of what you just said.
Okay. It's a Shakespearean phrase.
Yeah, it's the Bard of Avon Shakespeare. I know he's the Bard, but I didn't know he was from
it's
Avon.
It's from one of his plays. Anyway.
Is that like Avon by the Sea down the Jersey Shore? No?
No. Okay. It's Avon in England.
Ah, gotcha.
That's where he was born, Avon in England.
And he wasn't a Monmouth County guy, my bad.
No. He was born in 1564. He died in 1610. Anyway, that's another discussion for another time.
Okay. Yes, okay.
I got a bunch of points I want to make. Number one, I'm very discouraged about baseball. I don't like the way it's going. And I will say this to you, unless I'm terribly mistaken, I think this whole thing's going to get canceled long before it gets to the end of the season. I'm sorry. I don't like where it's going.
I understand what you're saying. I'm not there yet. I could very well be there by Monday if we see this get uglier and uglier with the Cardinals. I could absolutely be there by Monday. I understand the thought process, but I have to tell you, Robert, I have been trying as much as I can, as against the plan as I was, I have been trying as much as I can to be as optimistic about it as possible. That's all. And when you see what happened this week, I fully understand where you're coming from. I'm just not mentally there yet.
Okay, let me ask you a question. I want your honest opinion, and because you're a good guy, I accept what you say. Do you like really what the NBA and especially the NHL did with this expansion? Now, look, I don't like what the geniuses in Bettman's office did. They might as well have gotten all the clubs in there. I even heard a rumor that the NBA wanted to do all 30, whatever it is, clubs. Can you imagine bringing the putrid Knicks into the playoffs? Oh, please.
Well, that's just punishing America at that point.
There's no need to do that.
Like, we've been through enough.
I don't like the fact that you got 24 teams in this round robin that starts tomorrow. Look, there were teams that were not in the playoffs when the NHL season got stuck. Tough luck, Charlie, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So what did they do? They snuck teams into the playoff system, as far as I'm concerned, teams who I don't think belong there. And so the same thing with the NBA. Do you like the expansion from 16 to 24 or 16 to 22?
Well, here's the thing, Robert, and thanks for the call. I don't dislike it. And from an NBA and an NHL standpoint, there was still time left in the regular season. So those teams that were on the outside looking in, trying to fight their way in, you want to give them an opportunity. So the play-in round, I've got no problem with at all. I really don't. I'm frankly looking forward to it because it adds a little something different. That's why I look at the NHL and I just think they've done everything right on this, from going to Canada to the play-in rounds to the way they structured all of that to just how well they have handled the testing. I mean, think about that. They were the first ones to have, 4,000-some tests come back over the course of a week and not one positive. I mean, they've been brilliant with the way they've handled it. So I have no problem with that. The two hub cities as bubbles, it shows it can work. The NBA down in Florida, same thing. You had games left in the season and teams still with an opportunity, but they didn't bring every team down there. Thank God. They didn't need to do that. Even if they wanted to, they didn't do it ultimately. And that's all that matters. I'm glad that it's being structured the way that it is for both those leagues, because to me, they have the best opportunity to be successful. You know, when we talked about the baseball bubble, it wasn't going to be as easy because we were talking about Arizona and we were talking about Florida and we were talking about Texas, but primarily Arizona and Florida. So we were trying to keep 15 teams in each state and all in their separate complexes, not really putting them in a true bubble, so to speak. And as it turned out, those states ended up spiking afterward anyway. But the NBA, by doing it on the Disney campus, has been able to keep everybody away. And has been, for the most part, unless you're going out for Cousin Lou's wings or whatever they're called, Lou Will's wings. You get the point. You have put yourselves in the best way to be, in the best position to be successful if you're those two leagues. I love what they've done. Spike in Jersey. Spike, what up?
Hey!
What up?
You know, I feel my wife just walked in and I said, you missed classic radio. It's a great medium. I feel like you just got called up to the teacher's desk and to collect your paper. Would that be a good analogy?
Well, and what's more troubling is perhaps that I was an English major.
I know you are. That's why I brought it up. The red pen came out, and your grammar was corrected. You didn't have a comma in the right place.
I didn't know who the hell Shakespeare was. So, all of it really works well.
Fine. That's accurate. The Jersey Shore line was good. But I'm shocked.
Maybe I'll include you on these Zoom calls so you can analyze all 3 hours of the show as well.
I listen to you wherever I can find you. I find you extremely entertaining with a great sense of humor. And sometimes you need your palate cleanse. You know, this is what life's all about. So let me comment on the sports. And it's good to know that 9 o'clock is something to look forward to. I miss that a lot. It's great radio. So here's what I say. I love basketball like you love baseball. We've talked about this before. I thought the NBA did a superb job. I haven't heard anybody comment on this. You notice the nuances of the camera angles?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's fantastic. And usually, we don't like change. We're used to seeing it. I remember a long time ago when baseball went to the center field camera. First time I saw it, I want the old shot back, But you get used to things. Previous caller, Robert, a great caller, very bright guy. Listen, this is what we got. This is what we got. You take it or you don't take it. We try to get through the last 5 or 6 months and survive. So we got a lot now. Change the batteries in the remote. Moving on a pillow to the couch. This is what we got, guys. We got to live with it and keep our mask on and get better. Because it's not going to get better unless everybody behaves. You're a Jersey guy, and what the Long Beach Island, lifeguards did, it took me a step back on how young people could be so stupid.
I appreciate the call as always, Spike. They just don't feel like they're affected by it. The thing with the Rutgers football team, you still see guys that apparently it stems back from a party. It's stuff you just can't do. It's stuff you just cannot do. 800-919-3776. Got to be smarter about it. That's all. And that's on, when it comes to sports across the board, that's on elder statesmen. That's on veteran leaders of players, even college and pro. It's on those guys to police what's going on. You just have to be smarter with what you're doing. Carlin, 98.7 ESPN, 800-919-3776. Mentioning being smarter, Jim Crane, the owner of the Astros, speaking out. And how did this guy get to be a billionaire? Because some of what he says is not good.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
My very, very troubling developments with LeBron and an aspect that he has not addressed that he needs to address and speak up for a community that has been waiting for a voice. That coming in just moments. Right now, Medina is in Newark. Next, 98.7 ESPN. Medina, how are you?
I am doing great. Thanks to God. Thanks to everything. But I've been safe, healthy. How are you doing, my brother?
I'm outstanding. I feel like $100.
Wait, you are outstanding. I mean, I still don't agree with the whole Joe Kelly situation, but, you know, agree. It's another day.
Agree to disagree or agree to and agree that you're wrong. Okay, go ahead.
Prince Adonis Greca came the day after when you said those crazy things about Joe Kelly. But another topic. Listen, when are we going to start, like, hearing some ideas with the NFL about what they're going to do with the season, man? Because we haven't heard what game plans they have. As you remember, the NBA, the NHL, they came out straight up and said, our plan is a bubble. I mean, we laughed at them. We laughed at Adam Silver when he was talking about a bubble in Florida when Florida was, you know, still on fire with the COVID-19 situation. But I'm concerned, man, because I'm a commissioner of a fantasy football league. And I got my guys telling me, man, what's going to happen? And I don't know what to tell them. So when do you think we're going to start listening to these ideas? That's my question.
I have to tell you. I bet you that somewhere right now they are trying to map something out that might work behind the scenes. I bet you they are working on some sort of a bubble contingency plan for the NFL that could work. And I don't know that they're going to go to it right away. I think they're going to see how it goes in training camp a little bit. But I could honestly see a situation where if they run into problems early in training camp, that the league shuts down the camps temporarily and then puts together a plan to start the season maybe a month late with a bubble situation. You have, you know, four base cities, something like that, or maybe eight base cities around the country, mini bubbles, where these teams can live like the NBA and NHL teams are and try to get through the year.
But the thing is, a bubble with the NFL is a totally different thing comparing it to the NBA. Maybe an island. I mean, this is shooting like what the UFC is doing with the whole island situation.
Oh, they're going to football island.
They're going to football island, baby. That's what I'm talking about. I hope they're going in with something crazy like that is actually going to work, because a bubble, man, a bubble is going to be tough for a whole NFL. It's too many guys. It's too many players.
No, listen, it's not easy to do, and thanks for the call, but we're not talking about one spot. We're talking about doing it in four cities or eight cities, something like that. That's what we're talking about. Football Island! Hey, Joel, can you do me a favor?
Maybe.
All right. Just roll on this. So we have this as a drop at some point, okay? All right, counting down in 3, 2, 1. Football Island! I don't know. Did I sound like a 10-year-old girl there? Because usually when I get excited, I do. Or was that like, you know, something that we could use?
It was somewhere between usable and 14-year-old girl, yeah.
Crap, yeah, okay. Well, then, listen, if it's something we can use to make fun of me, by all means, then that's why we do it. 800-919-3776. Oh, Robin Astoria. What's up, big cat? How you doing?
Good. How are you, Chris? I haven't talked to you in a while. Missed you, bud.
Yeah. What's new? Who's that on? Well, really me, because I haven't been here, but I get it.
No, I think I called Anita once, I think,
okay,
while you were gone.
But I mean, you and I haven't spoken because I haven't been on in the slot. That's all.
It happens. Okay. I had 2 points. One about Tibbs. I don't dislike him as a coach. I like him as a coach. I don't know if I love him for the coach of the Knicks, because I think the Knicks really need someone who needs to prove himself, because Tibbs, while I don't think he's necessarily the type of coach that will just phone it in, if the Knicks don't do well underneath him, there's about a million excuses he can use and then just still go get another job somewhere. Like, Dolan didn't surround me with good talent. The Knicks franchise has, like, never been good. I just feel like good coaches can just take the Knicks job as just 5 years of good money, and then they can just use their old resume to just get a job somewhere else and just be like, of course it didn't work out in New York. It's never worked out in New York for anyone.
Yeah, but here's the problem. I know what you're saying, Rob, but here's the problem with that if you're Thibodeau. Thibodeau, as I have learned, we have to start getting it right. It's Thibodeau, but we call him Tibbs.
I might just say Tom.
Okay, that's fine. I would say that the bigger issue here for him is that this is his third job. And I don't know that you can lean back on your resume, even if it is the Knicks, when it's your third job. You know, maybe David Fizdale gets another opportunity somewhere. I don't know that Tom would get a third opportunity, a fourth opportunity somewhere else. There are too many. That's the biggest knock on the NBA is the retread coaches. And I know people think that about Thibodeau. The problem is he's had success in the other spots. And I think he'll have success here if they just let him do his job.
I certainly hope so. The second point that I wanted to make was that I actually play Ultimate Frisbee at a professional level.
A little Ultimate Frizz.
Yeah, I played in the AUDL, which is the American Ultimate Disc League, and I played on the Rochester Dragons for 3 years until that team folded. But the team, the AUDL as a whole is still active, and we folded our season this year, obviously because of COVID precautions. But if the four major sports can't figure out a way to, like, get off the ground, or at least, like, I know some of them are now, but if they can't really, like, if they can't finish or they can't do it, I just think it just gives all these niche sports, like, a great opportunity to get into the, like, because we just want to play. Like, you know, we don't make money. Like, I have other jobs that I do, and I do this as something that, like, sure, they pay for my travel, but that's it. Like, so I just, like, think it could just be a really good opportunity for, like, stuff like ping pong and bowling, and even golf is a weird one that's kind of like on the cusp of niche, even though it's kind of more mainstream now. We have Tiger to thank for that. But yeah, like, for me,
I mean, you can't put golf in there, but I know what you're saying. Bowling. I mean, if anybody has not watched the movie Kingpin, watch it and tell me you wouldn't go to a bowling tournament.
Exactly. I wouldn't admit it. I think the general public would absolutely love Ultimate Frisbee if it was filmed and produced the right way. It's been on ESPN 3 before, and we've had some like tape delay stuff, and there's been exhibition games at the Vikings halftime during the regular season, and a few maybe Detroit did a halftime thing where they let the two pro teams in the area come out and play. But I just really think the general public would love it because it's fast paced. There's huge, you know, there's big bomb passes, like similar to like a Hail Mary in football. There's very athletic players going up in the air for the disc. There's, you know, person-on-person defense that gets very intense. You see these matchups that develop throughout the course of the game, and these guys getting each other's heads and stuff like that. And it's just like, it's just such a good sport because everybody has to be able to do everything. It's not just like a wide receiver in football has to be able to run a route and catch the ball, but it's like once I catch the disc, I have to be able to turn, look up field, and be able to deliver another pass to somebody like efficiently and be able to read the defense, see who's open downfield, and deliver a pass that's not going to result in a turnover, and then like soccer, where the other team just picks it up and immediately is going the other way, or basketball. So there's so many different combinations of sports where I love watching other sports because I see ultimate in other sports because we've
listen, Robin, you may be wondering, why has Chris let me go this long on Ultimate Frisbee? I used to play Ultimate Frisbee. Really in camp and in college, and I was the enforcer. I would be the guy that if you have to go up to try to get a disc in a crowd, I'm the guy that you want to go get it because without me even knowing, somebody's catching an elbow in the ribs. Like I can't control my body parts at all and people are just flying all over the place. So I was the enforcer in Ultimate Frisbee and in indoor soccer. And thanks for the call, Rob. That's accurate. I tossed some discs in my time. Yeah. Yeah, brah. I could never, I always tried to do it with the forehand throw where you put the two fingers underneath the disc and you try to really let it go. And I was never that great at it. Again, enforcer. Don't try to go up and think that just because you got hops, you're taking me out. That's not what's happening. What's happening is you're probably going to get the wind knocked out of you when you're going up trying to go over my head to get a frisbee, and I'm going to come away with it. And you're writhing in pain on the ground. Indoor soccer, did the same thing. High school, played intramurals. And by intramurals, I don't mean just like at the high school. I mean like travel on the weekends. I cannot control a soccer ball to save my life. Didn't matter. They had a guy on the other team who's a cherry picker going and getting all the cheapies. Yeah, guess who was in charge of getting him into the boards? Mm-hmm. Didn't do it very often after that, I can guarantee you that.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
What's going on? How are you?
Hey, Carlin, thanks so much for having me on. I was super, super busy, so I had to just slide you into my schedule somewhere. These 14 days are just jam-packed. I have a nice little balcony that is sort of the amount of exercise and the ability to be with the outside world. So, yeah, actually, you know what? I'm having a great time. I got a view of the CN Tower. The NHL bubble's just a couple blocks away. It doesn't matter because I can't go outside. But sports are back, so I'm all right.
All right, so first, I want to go through the logistics of this, first of all, because anybody that follows Julie, and if you don't, you should be on Instagram, at JSB_TV, saw you make your journey last week. And you had not just the mask, but the full shield as well. You're not doing it as a joke. You're doing it because it's the right thing to do. And you're going, like, you got to explain to me I understand you're Canadian, but what happened with everybody that is flying to Canada that can't get in and they need 100 different documents? Like, what was that all about?
Yeah, see, you know what? If I was doing it as a joke, I found so many cool things on Amazon that you could wear just to be like, so over the top, which I almost like was thinking about buying just for fun. But I felt so embarrassed at first putting on like what felt to be like a beekeeper's hat. And then I'm like, you know what? This is a global pandemic. Like, I don't want COVID. Like, I don't want to have long-term issues and all this kind of stuff. So yeah, I did the whole shebang. The plane was jam-packed, which was just delightful. But the airline I flew with, Air Canada, they like give you a heads up a couple days before. Like, if you want to change your flight free of charge because it's jam-packed. And I was like, yeah, we're all going to be in a tube regardless. Like, I'm just going to go for it. But then, yeah, at the border, for those of you who don't know, like, okay, so, you know, you can't cross if you're American. Sorry, but that's probably for the best. But if you're Canadian, you have to show that you are going to be quarantining, self-isolation, as they call it, away from anyone else for 14 days. So I have to show my Airbnb reservation to the border, and then you have to show that you are not going to a grocery store, so that you've either already ordered food and you have like a receipt, or you have photos of food in the fridge that you're going to, which is so wild. Because you think like how many people cross the border every day, and you're going to try to do that with every single person, and they do. And people ahead of me, like some, the lady was like, so where's your food? Like, where'd you order your food? And he's like, I'm going to go to the grocery store. She's like, you can't do that. Like, that's one of the three things you cannot do. And so they do, you know, when you go through customs, they like write something on your little thing. I've always wondered what that meant, but you'd see some people going to another area, like I don't think it's happening today, bud. I think you're going back home.
That other area is usually where they crack open the ceramic hat full of cocaine.
Yes, yeah, that's usually where, that's where all the good stuff goes down, the quality content. But yeah, you know, I got in, and then as soon as, like, because they tell you, you literally can't go anywhere. So you get into an Uber, which I was then like, but wait, I'm like, could infect this Uber driver. But regardless, they haven't figured that one part of the link out. And then they drive you right to where I am, this Airbnb. And then the Airbnb knows, like the building knows that I'm in quarantine. I'm like the unit under quarantine. So that's great for making any kind of friends. Sure. But like, basically the government has the ability to, they have all my information because they make you fill out a form at the border, and they can either call you and you have to legally be where you are, where they, if they say, hey, Julie, are you at, you know, blank, 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 and I say, yeah, and I'm not, I get fined $750,000 or face 6 months in prison, which would make for great content, you know, down the road.
Yeah.
Or if they can come check on you. And some of my friends, they saw RCMP, like Mounties, that's what they have in Canada. They saw them, they come by, like, your house or apartment, and they just look in to see if you're in there. Like, that's a wow. legitimate fact.
Wow. And you can't, yeah. Can you order in besides groceries? Can you order in like pizza?
Oh yeah. I mean, they can't force people to learn how to cook. Like, I don't know what, I mean, you could just tell the border, like, I'm just going to get Uber Eats. And, and if they have a problem with that, you're like, yeah, don't know how to work an oven. Like, sorry, that's just, I'm an idiot. But yeah, I ordered Tim Hortons, because I'm in Canada. And usually they don't let people come up and deliver it to the unit, but like they have to. So the concierge has a whole system here. I'm like, this seems like overkill. Like, I'm pretty sure I didn't bring anything with me, but you know, whatever. This is why this country has fewer cases, because they may be going over the top in some areas, but you know, it's all for good cause. So here we are now.
Julie Stewart Binks, Drinks with Binks, tremendous podcast. This week, Nick Kyprios, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
Yes. Yeah. Actually, the video version of the show is just finishing up right now on FuboSportsNetwork.com. And then we have it, you know, it's available on YouTube, on at FuboSports, but then the podcast, as you said, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your pods. And Kipper was great. You know, for those in the New York area, he, of course, won the Cup in 94. And he was, you know, he has such an incredible, he still does have an incredible broadcasting career, too. He's a staple of Sportsnet in Canada and Hockey Night in Canada. Now he has his own new show. But we did play a game, I think, you know, the New York fans would find this interesting, of Truth or Sip. This is one of my favorite games ever, because either you have to answer the question, which is usually pretty uncomfortable, or you take a sip of whatever drink you have, but you only have a certain number of sips you're allowed to take. So I asked him who the worst coach was he's ever had. And he actually said Mike Tiernan. And I was like, but, you know, it's like, but he won you the Stanley Cup. But he's like, but he did a lot of things that he didn't need to do, like kind of pushed a lot of people in the wrong way to get that cup. I was like, oh,
okay.
That's definitely, you know, a lot of stories underneath there. So, but yeah, Kyprios is great. We drank, he has like a new drink he's created. So that was fun. So, things are great in the queue right now, Carlin. Yeah,
so what's the deal? You're throwing yourself a party. It's club quarantine.
Club Q is going off this weekend.
So what are you, honestly, just... Are you just watching TV and knocking a few back and ordering? Like, what are, and the other thing you're doing all the time is working out with drumsticks, which I can't even figure that out. I don't know what the hell that is. Yeah,
you know what? I just did it. I just was working out with drumsticks.
What is that? Are you trying to be Neil Peart?
I wish. Honestly, I think it's like a gateway drug to being a drummer, is this like workout. And I don't like, they don't pay me or anything or any of this kind of stuff, like no promotion, but it's like this fun workout with drumsticks. Like it does not feel like working out. It just feels like you're being an idiot and trying to air drum on your floor. So I've been having a lot of fun with that. And then Club Q this weekend, I just thought to myself, like, why not do what I would want to do just by myself? So one of my friends went to like the dollar store here and bought me a bunch of stupid stuff that would be great for sort of like throwing a quote unquote like Vegas day party. And I got a blow up pool for my balcony, which is literally for a newborn. It's so tiny. It is like, it's just so sad, but I'm like, you know what? I'll pump this up. I'm going to throw on hockey starting at noon tomorrow and just basically just watch hockey, NBA. I got a view of the CN Tower.
Oh, I think we lost Julie. All right, let's see if we can get her back. Just check and see if Joel. There she is. You there?
Hey, yeah.
I lost you for a second.
Here.
Okay.
Oh man.
All right, so you got a view of the CN Tower.
That was government interfering to make sure I was where I was. They heard me talking about Club Q and got all worried.
Yeah, exactly. People are coming over.
Yeah, long story short, we're going to have a time. And like, what would everyone else do in quarantine on a nice August first weekend when hockey's coming back? Like, just get drunk and watch hockey, I guess.
Yeah. We've got like 2 minutes left. Is there just like a group of people at the border just shouting, "How you like me now?" Like, is that happening? The way, I mean, there was one new case in Toronto the other day, and there were eight on the Marlins.
Yeah, it's, you know what? Canadians would never do that because they're too polite. They'd be like, "We're really sorry that you are going through such a hard time that even though you inflicted on yourself, we're like sorry that you inflicted this on yourself." But yeah, I think everyone here is sort of like that crazy. You know, I saw some tweet that was like that meth lab, but like Canada lives above a meth lab. Like that is the feeling here. Everyone's like, doesn't it feel good to be here now? Like you feel like you just got out of like a burning house or something. No offense to obviously the country that I live in, America. But yes, it is. It does. The air just feels a little cleaner up here right now. So
understandable. Understandable. Yeah. Last one. So you went up. How long were you going to go up for that you have to be there for quarantine for 2 weeks?
It could be one day, Carlin, and you still have to be there for 2 weeks.
No, so. I know that, but like, how long are you up in Canada for? Did you move home or what did you, what?
No. A lot of people are like, oh, did you just throw in the towel on the U.S. and you're done now? Like, see you later.
Can I come?
Like, no, I know. I'll adopt you and you can come, like, refugee status. But yeah, no, I think, I was just going to stay for a couple weeks. Like my boyfriend is still in our apartment in Manhattan because he can't come up here. So I was just like, see you later, sweetie. Like maybe never going to God's country up here right now. But yeah, I'll be back. But you know what it's like. I mean, we're not in the studio till at least sometime in 2021. So I can, my whole Airbnb has like my lights, my camera. Like if anyone can see in here, which they can, because the windows are like wide open, they'd be like, "What in the name is going on in that place there?" Because
yeah,
it's the whole show's here. Brought the show on the road.
There's a show, and there's a crazy lady who's knocking a few back and air drumming quite a bit. Yeah.
Oh yeah, we'll be making a scene tomorrow at Club Q. So watch the brand.
Julie, in all seriousness, they got to follow you on Instagram at JSB_TV because I have not seen anybody make more with less than you have over the last 4 months. And that's tremendous.
Well, I'll take that as a compliment because that usually means I'm pretty crazy right now, which I am. If I'm already talking about my party I'm throwing for myself tomorrow, like legitimately got like decorations and stuff, like that's called crazy talk, I think. But you know what? I'm leaning into it and I'm happy. So.
I love it.
Stay
lazy.
Yeah.
Hey, Jay, thanks for coming on. We appreciate it. And we'll have you on again soon. Thanks.
I'm really glad I could, you know, impart some wisdom on all the sports that are going on in the world right now, too. So everyone have a great weekend. And we'll see you on the other side.
Thanks, Julie. Julie Stewart Binks, FuboSportsNetwork.com to check out Drinks with Binks, the video version of it. It's a great podcast. And trust me, follow her. She is entertaining at JSB_TV on Instagram. Start dialing. Beat the fat man. Next, 800-919-3776. 800-919-ESPN. Line up. It's your only chance from the last few weeks and perhaps for the next couple. You think you know your television trivia? Bring it.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
Kyrie, load up the calls. You know what time it is. Time to beat the fat man.
That's right, Tone. Big fella's been out for a little bit. We've had some things to tend to, so you haven't had your chance. But I'm back, and now is your chance to take me on at 800-919-3776. If you think you know your television trivia, now would be the time to show it. 800-919-3776. Joel Pollack is our host, as most of you know, and Joel is back with us tonight. Joel, how are you?
Oh, a pleasure to be here as always, Chris.
Have you missed me?
Greatly.
Mm-hmm. I sense sarcasm in your voice.
Are you kidding me? Of course we missed you here.
Yeah.
I mean,
have you missed this?
This is what I've missed.
Yeah.
This is the great stuff. This is this is the meat of what we do.
It is the meat of what we do. It is the meat. We talk about things that we've wasted incredible amounts of time in our lives on, and then we try to embarrass people for not knowing more about that.
How is that not sports?
Exactly. And it's, in this case, it's not. It's television. It's TV shows. It's all that.
But you've turned television into a sport.
Well, I've done a lot of things. So now's your opportunity to take me on in a little game that we call Beat the Fat Man. Are you aware of what my precise record is at the moment?
Yeah, I've got it here. 26-11 is what we're looking at.
I thought I cracked the 30 mark, no?
Maybe, but then we have...
That's what you've got.
That's what I've got here, yeah.
26-11, so let's do a little quick math. 26 divided by 37. That's a winning percentage of 70%.
Still love it.
Last time I checked, Hall of Fame type numbers. Chris in Bethpage would like to play the game. Hello, Chris.
Hey, Chris. You know, you, Gordon Dama, and Rothenberg should do a Jeopardy-style trivia. I think it'd be very fascinating. One night you guys should do it for charity or something. It'd be great.
Well, I got to tell
you. You three guys are the best charity guys.
I appreciate the best that. Trivia. I would say this, though. I have checked out Stump Rothenberg quite a bit. Dave's impressive. I do have a philosophical issue with the game. But that aside, Dave's impressive. And then Gordon just ripped it up last week. I think he was like 8 for 8 at one point. It was off the charts how good he was.
He got my question. I asked him, who was the only president that got married in the White House? He got it. Grover Cleveland. He knew it.
Grover Cleveland. Okay.
Yeah, he knew it.
See, I wouldn't know that.
All right. You want to hear my question?
Well, but it's not your question. You have to go up against me in television trivia. And you and I both get the question.
Sure, I'm ready.
Joe, please explain the rules to our friend.
Okay, so here is how this game is going to work. I'm going to give each of you guys three questions, one from the 80s, 90s, and either 2000s, 2010s television. All right, you're going to have about 10 seconds to answer the question. Now, whichever one of you guys gets the most questions right is going to be our winner through three rounds. If the score is tied after three rounds, overtime. First one to win a round in overtime will be our winner. So our contestant's going to get questioned first. Chris is going to go in the isolation booth, and he will not be able to hear either the question or the answer until it's his turn.
Understand?
I understand.
Hit the music! Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name.
They're calling again.
If you know who shot Mr. Burns and what planet Alf comes from and who was on a break, then you might be able to beat the Fat Man.
So here we are with that opportunity for our friend, Chris and Beth Page. Chris, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. Joel Pollack, are you ready?
Oh, I'm ready. But Chris, are you ready?
Oh, I'm ready.
All right, let's send you to the booth.
Okay.
All right, Chris, number one, you ready?
Yes.
What was the name of the pizzeria owned by Charlie's mother in Charles in Charge?
I have no idea.
Okay, fair enough. You're not going to venture a guess? We're just going to stick with I don't know?
Charlie's Mother's Pizzeria.
See, wasn't that worth the guess?
Yes, okay.
Hi, Chris.
Hi.
What was the name of the pizzeria owned by Charlie's mother in Charles in Charge?
Oh. Oh, wow. Charles in Charge out of the gate. The name of the pizzeria. Oh, what the heck was their last name? I got nothing.
The answer is Sid's Pizza Parlor.
Sid's Pizza Parlor. Terrible.
Yeah.
Bad job by me. Good, bad start. Rusty.
That's all right. Neither Chris got it right. So, yep.
Well, I knew he wouldn't get it.
Ooh, that's rough.
Boy,
you're throwing shade early.
Yeah.
I mean, you didn't even get the first question right. You're throwing shade at him.
No, but listen. listen, if I'm not going to get it, he's not going to get it.
I like
all
that.
Right, let's go.
All right, back to the booth you go, my man. All right, Chris, ready?
Yep.
What was the name of Steve Urkel's obsessed girlfriend in Family Matters?
The one he obsessed over, right? Because he was the obsessive one, right?
No, the one who is obsessed with him.
Oh, there was the little nerdy girl. What the heck was her name?
What was her name?
Oh, that's right. I could see her face, too. Oh, my God.
Got to give me something.
I know. I don't know. Andrea.
Ooh. Sorry. Good guess, but no.
All right.
Hi, Chris.
Hi.
Okay. What was the name of Steve Urkel's obsessed girlfriend in Family Matters? Now, we had to clear this up for Chris before, so I'm going to clear it up for you. The one that was obsessed with him, not the one that he was obsessed with.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I got it.
Yeah, the answer is Myra.
Myra
Boutros Monkhouse.
All right.
And I think he liked Laura, right?
That's right.
He liked Laura.
Yep,
right.
That's why we clarified it. All right, it's 0-0 going into the third round.
Oh, crap.
I know. Here we go. Back to the booth you go, Chris.
Okay.
All right, Chris. What was the name of the Texas town that Friday Night Lights took place in?
Oh, wait. Oh, jeez.
Come on.
Oh, it begins with an O. Shoot.
Oof. Sorry, man. Let's see if Chris gets it for the win.
He'll get it.
We'll see. We'll see. He's not having a great night so far. Hey, buddy.
Yeah.
Oh, oof. Ouch. Okay.
Yeah.
What was the name of the Texas town that Friday Night Lights took place in?
Odessa. Permian?
Dillon.
Oh, crap. I'm thinking of the what it's booked, what it's, what do you call it? Based on.
Yep. And, you know, it's funny because Chris was also thinking something with a no. He didn't get it either. So.
Right.
But you know what that means.
Yes, we're going to overtime.
Overtime!
All right.
Boy, I have been. I am ripe for the picking here.
Yeah, this is.
And you are not exactly distinguishing yourself. I'm an embarrassment. You're just a guy. And you've got your chance to take me out.
I'm a fat man as well, so I'm a fat Chris as well, so we're two of a kind.
And this is what we're doing with our Friday night.
I mean, you're both striking out big time.
Not the first time.
I'll invite you to Sid's Pizza for a bite later.
All right.
Back to the booth you go, Chris.
Mm-hmm.
All right, here's your overtime question. What is the name of the ad agency that Don Draper worked at in Mad Men?
Sterling & Cooper.
That is correct.
All right, we got one. We finally got one on the board. Good job, Chris. Let's see if Chris can match it. Hey, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go. What is the name of the ad agency that Don Draper worked for in Mad Men?
Sterling Cooper.
Well, we're going to another overtime round because Chris also got it.
Okay.
This is what we're talking about. Now we got a match.
Mm.
Double overtime. Back to the booth. All right, Chris, here we go. What was the name of the hospital in the medical drama House?
Oh, boy. Ugh. You got me with all these shows. I don't... Oh, man.
I know, it's TV trivia. Who'd have thought?
I know. No. You got... You know. I know. It's not in my wheelhouse. I'll go with Mass General.
At least it was a guess. Hang tight. Hi, Chris.
Hi.
What was the name of the hospital in the medical drama House?
Oh, I have no idea. I never watched House.
Well, we're going to a third overtime.
This is an embarrassment on many levels.
We're just all over the place right
what
now.
What was the answer?
It's Princeton Plainsboro Teaching Hospital.
Yeah, that if it existed, it would be about 100 yards from my house.
Yeah.
We need more Mad Men trivia, I think.
Apparently.
Seriously. We're running out of questions here, but back to the booth you go. Let's do this again.
All right.
All right, Chris, let's try this again. All right. In Three's Company, which branch of the service was Jack in?
It's got to be the Navy.
That is correct.
Nice. All right. Let's see if Chris can match it. Otherwise, you're taking this one. Hi, Chris.
Mm-hmm.
In Three's Company, which brand of the service was Jack in?
Jack was in the Navy.
That is correct.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're going to another overtime round.
Wow!
Right?
Wowie, wow, wow, wow.
We've really got something going on here.
We really do. Oh, this is, I'll tell you what, this is gold. It's gold.
It's gold, Jerry. Gold.
Go ahead.
All right, we'll send you back to the booth. All right, Chris. What network was home to the iconic teen dramas like Dawson Creek, One Tree Hill, and Smallville?
The CW.
That is correct.
All right, let's see if Chris got it. Hi, Chris.
Mm-hmm.
What network was the home to the iconic teen dramas like Dawson Creek, One Tree Hill, and Smallville?
The CW.
Yeah, that was a gimme. We both got it.
Okay.
Yep, we're going
let's
to...
keep going!
There we go. All right, Chris, here we go. Many politicians made a cameo on the TV show Parks and Rec. All right, pay attention here. Only two of them were able to say that they actually held official party nominations for president, okay? Two politicians on Parks and Recreation who actually held party nominations for president. What two presidential nominees appeared on Parks and Rec?
I'll go with presidential nominees, you're saying?
Yes.
All right. I'll go with Al Gore and, Mitt Romney.
That's a tough one. Sorry, you didn't get that one. But honestly, right. Before we bring Kirsten, I'm telling you, I don't think he's going to get this one either.
Yeah,
hi, Chris.
That was a long time I was waiting there.
You were, because this one's a little bit wordy, so I'm going to have to, you know, take it slow with you, all right? Many politicians made cameos on the TV show Parks and Rec. Mm-hmm. Only two of them are able to say they've held official party nominations for president. What two presidential nominees appeared on Parks and Recreation?
Official. All right, John McCain is one.
That is one.
Biden hasn't officially had the nomination yet. I mean, he's the leading candidate, but he hasn't been.
Yeah, so we're going to call that one then a mistake on the part of the answer. But
okay.
We have Joe Biden and John McCain as our answers.
Okay. Right. Good for you. Did you beat me?
Good. Wow, good. Go home.
We finally got
go
one.
Yes.
I would have called
Goodbye.
It a tie if he got one of them also because of, you know, the murkiness of the answer, but
right.
He did not get either one.
Well, listen, I know McCain was on it, and, you know, Chris, go ahead. Yeah, you lost. Go home. See you later.
I will.
Goodbye.
I will.
Goodbye.
All right. Good job, Chris.
Thank you. I appreciate you. Thank you for being classy. That's not what I do. Biden's not officially, I mean, I guess... He is, but he's not. You know what I mean? Like, they didn't have a convention.
Right.
So, now I'm getting all technical in politics. Wow.
Is that what we do here now?
Oh, big deep breath. Do we have enough to play another game?
I mean, as long as it doesn't go to quadruple overtime.
All right. Well, I'll take care of business quickly next time.
You better.
We've got one more in us. If you want to play, now's the time. 800-919-3776. Carlin, 98.7 ESPN. Come and bring it. Quadruple overtime, yes, but the big fella still won. But you get another shot next.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
Beat the fat man, John on Long Island. John, are you prepared?
Chris, I do not think I'm prepared after hearing the last round. Honestly, what that went to four overtimes, and the only question I knew was the one about the CW, which I don't think I'm proud of.
Right. So you don't think you're up to it?
I thought I was. I mean, we'll see. Honestly, I'm sitting here watching the Mets game. I saw your tweet. That gif you have of Don is gold. Wherever you found that, I need to find it.
There was no place to find it. I actually shot the video and turned it into a gif. But feel free to take it down and keep it. John, you're up. You've got a shot to beat the fat man. Let's do it.
All right, let's go.
All right, we'll get right into it then, Chris. Right to the booth you go.
All right.
All right, John, you ready to go?
I am.
All right, here's your first question. What did Tony Maselli do before becoming a housekeeper in Who's the Boss?
I have no idea, but I'm going to go out on a limb here and say he played minor league baseball.
You know, I'm going to have to go with... Because he did play baseball, but he was a professional baseball player for the Cardinals. That's why it hurt me to hit the buzzer there. You hadn't said minor league. You really drove home minor league. So.
Oh, I did. Man.
You did. Right, you did. But let's see what Chris says here. Hi, Chris.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. What did Tony Maselli do before becoming a housekeeper in Who's the Boss?
He played for the St. Louis Cardinals.
That is correct.
See, we might have had to revisit that, John, if he had said the same thing, but he got it spot on. John wasn't quite sure, and he took a random guess, and he said minor league baseball player and emphasized
it. Leagues.
Yep. So we buzzed him wrong.
All right,
back to the booth, you go, Chris.
Fun playing.
That's why we're playing. Let's go back to the booth. All right, here we go, John. What was the name of the butler on The Nanny?
Oh, I can picture him. I don't even have a guess. I'm just gonna have to abstain on this one with the buzzer.
Oof! Really? After the guess you gave us on the last one, no guess here.
I know, but
all right. Let's go to Chris.
Mm-hmm.
What was the name of the butler on the TV show The Nanny?
I'll say Jeeves, but I don't remember.
Hey, at least it was a guess. The answer was Niles, and John did not get that right either. So 1-0, Chris, going into the third round.
All right,
here we go. All right, John, trying to stay in it. What is the name of Nick's book in the TV show New Girl?
Man, I am seriously unprepared for this.
Oof.
That like at least on the last one I could have just guessed a random name. This I can't even make up a book title.
No.
So buzz me again.
just hang tight and pretend like maybe you got it right before Chris gets it. All right, let's bring Chris in here. Hi, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
On the TV show New Girl, what is the name of Nick's book series?
I believe it was called There's No Chance in Hell I Was Ever Watching New Girl. No, not right.
No, I'm sorry.
I got to plead ignorance on this one.
That was close.
Well, John didn't get it right either, so either way, you win.
Oh, well. Hey, John, you gave it a valiant effort, but your initial instinct was right. You had no shot. And I got a new girl question, and you lost. Oh, my God.
Yep. Hey, it was fun. Thanks for the call.
No problem. Glad I could provide you with some fun for a few minutes.
That was something, and it definitely went faster.
It wasn't good.
Like I said, something.
Yes. 28-11. That's your record now, and unfortunately, I won't be back at it for a bit because I'm filling in for Dave Rothenberg next week, and then I've got a little more time off before we get back to it in a few weeks. But nonetheless, a productive Beat the Fat Man, even though it...
Now, do you find that the time off has made you rusty?
Oh, there's no question.
Yeah.
There's no question.
You need to flex those muscles. You need spring training.
Yeah, I was not sharp. This was the Beat the Fat Man version of pulling a hamstring tonight. That's what that was.
It's right in line with everything going on.
Yeah, exactly.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.